Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show on Thursday, July 12th, 2018. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Well, on tonight, once again, we have standing by to deliver God's Word, Deacon Marvin Cox. But before he share God's word, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. Deacon Marvin Cox is standing by to bring the word. So I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he get ready to deliver God's word on tonight. But before we go into God's word, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is once again, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It is in His name that we come to give Your name glory, honor, and praise. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for this another day that You have made and allowed us to see. Heavenly Father, we come asking in the name of Jesus that You will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, and I include my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every faithful, committed doer of Your word, Heavenly Father, all over the land, forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions. Blot out every one of our iniquities so that our prayers and our work for You would not be hindered, that everything that we do for you on earth will be to your glory, Heavenly Father. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank you right now for the blood of Jesus Christ that still works, and it still forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from sin and unrighteousness. So we just thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ on tonight. Heavenly Father, is our prayer, our hope, and desire that through this message on tonight, through your man of God, Deacon Robert Cox, that you would touch those that are still spiritually blind. Heavenly Father, is our prayer and our aim and our desire and goal on tonight that someone that is still spiritually blind, after hearing your word on tonight, they will be able to open their own mouth after their spiritual eyes have become open. They will open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved in his name on tonight, they will come to know, walk in, live, and fulfill their God purposes in the earth. For your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for allowing those young 12 soccer players and their coach to be rescued in Thailand. And we thank you for everyone that put in the effort that helped to bring them out safely. And we give you glory, we give you honor and praise, because we know that each one of them young men and their coach now have a testimony. And not only them, but everyone that was involved in the rescue have a living testimony that we know that it was you that have done this great thing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So we just thank you for allowing them to be brought out safely, and we just give you the glory, honor, and praise. And Heavenly Father, right now we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are dealing with mental issues on tonight, mental sickness, mental illness. Heavenly Father, we see people walking around the streets, young and old, black and white, Hispanic, all nationalities and denominations that are in the mindset are gone because the enemy has come in and destroyed their mind. So we know that you are a mind regulator, and you said we are and we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we lift up all those, Heavenly Father, that are dealing with mental issues on tonight, that you would touch them by their hearts and their minds, and that you would be able to allow them to know who you are, and those that you bring to them that will speak a word into their lives, that they would be effective, that they would hear your word through your vessels, and that they would be saved in Jesus' name, and they would be transformed by the renewing of their minds so that they can come in alignment and do what you have called and purpose for each one of them to do in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that have bereaved on tonight. Comfort and strengthen as only you can is our prayer for each one of them in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we continue to lift up our president, and not only President Donald Trump, but every worldwide leader, Heavenly Father, that have ruled over your people in any form or fashion, in any way. We pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and their minds, and they would all come on one accord and do what's right for all people all over the land, and that you would be glorified through it all. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, on tonight, we pray that you would help us to decrease on tonight. Decrease us in every effort and every way, Heavenly Father, that may be lacking, that you would be able to move and have free reign over tonight's program, even through Deacon Marvin Cox. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you would be glorified through us on tonight. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we lift up every listener. Continue to bless them. Continue to comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts. And, oh, God, we thank you that you are not like man. You are a promise keeper. You are a man of God. You are the one who keeps every promise. You are faithful to keep your promise. You are watching over your word still to perform it in the lives of your children and your faithful saints all over the land, even today. So this we are grateful for on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. So we now pray, Lord, that you would just have your way in each one of our lives, that you would be glorified through us individually and then as a corporate body of believers and doers of your word. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God that are touching and agreeing with this prayer say it, amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying there is a difference between church work and the work of God. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying there is a difference between church work and the work of God or the work for God. I'm asking our listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. And once you get there, click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, right now I do not have any announcements for tonight. I am getting ready to go into our music break so we can have enough time for Deacon Marvin Cox to share another one of his inspirational, motivational poems that the Lord has anointed him to write. They will be a blessing to the people. They will be a blessing to the body of Christ. We're going to do our music break first, and then we're going to come back and hear the poem from Deacon Marvin Cox. And following his poem, he's going to go directly into the Word of God. So I pray that you listeners have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to go into God's Word. Again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show on Thursday. I keep wanting to say Saturday. On Thursday night, July 12th, 2018. Well, I thank God that Jesus thought that our life was worth living, that he came and he sacrificed his life for us. He sacrificed his life for you and even for me. Even while we was in our sins, Christ died for us, that we can be redeemed and saved and be reconciled back to our Heavenly Father, our Creator. So aren't you glad that Jesus thought that our lives were worth living, that he came down and he died for us and he paid our sin debt with his own blood? So we're going to enjoy this music break together, Worth Living, and we're going to come back to Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy the music break. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus thought that our life was worth living, that he came down, he sacrificed his own life, and he paid our sin debt with his own precious blood, a debt that he did not owe, but he knew that it was a debt that we could not pay. So I am grateful to God. I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, for what he did for me, what he did for you, all those who are saved in his name. And that's why we are praying for those that are not saved in Jesus' name on tonight. That you come to know Jesus Christ for yourself. He wants a personal relationship with you. He died for you, and he died for me. I'm so grateful that he did. Well, right now we are so excited for Deacon Marvin Cox. Again, I pray that the listeners, I pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready. He's going to come forth now and share with us another inspirational poem, and then you're going to go directly into the Word of God. So right now, Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you to share with us, the listening audience, your poem, and then go directly into the Word on tonight. God bless you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown, for this awesome, awesome opportunity to bring forth God's Word. It's truly an honor and a pleasure, and I don't take it lightly, and I don't take it for granted. So God's Word says, study to show yourself approved. And I just thank God for giving me time to study and to not only study but to expound and to share His Word with others. Now, tonight's poem is called An Unwelcome Guest, and it's coinciding with the message that the Lord gave me for tonight. And I'm more than sure, as most of what the Lord gives me, is going to touch the heart of some listener out there. Because we really do need, in these troubled times, to know who our friend is. We need to know where we can go to when we're in trouble. And the name of the poem is An Unwelcome Guest. Worry came to visit me just the other day. When worry came, he chased my faith and my good health away. He brought many relatives. They were too numerous to mention. The first one that I met was his son, hypertension. Now, worry was a fugitive on the run from God's law, the most silent and deadliest killer that you ever saw. He said that your vital organs and I come here to test, but that's just the rudeness of an unwelcome guest. Hypertension said, I didn't come empty-handed. There's no need to complain. I brought my wife with me. Her name is Migraine. Now, Migraine was a drummer. She pounded all night. She pounded so much, I became sensitive to the light. Now, hypertension and Migraine will bring you to your knees. Then along came their children, kidney and heart disease. They came, the next visitor to come, he came all dressed up in a tux, that old belly aching nuisance, acid reflux. He said, the whole family is here, and we ain't no joke. Will somebody please open the door for our granddaddy, the stroke? You might protest, you may have even resisted, but if a stroke comes your way, you will surely be twisted. When all of these ailments came, they came in rapid succession. The next visitor to come was deep depression. I went to my doctor. He said I need to relax. Then he wrote me a prescription for some Xanax. Now, Xanax turned into a gorilla who rode my back. I thought I was having a panic attack. Now, the thing about worry that seems so strange is that we worry about things that only God can change. Worry wouldn't be bad if you were to be fair, if we take our burdens to the Lord and we leave them there. It would comfort your mind and heal your soul, if we stop worrying about things on which you have no control. So when worry comes to visit you, tell him that he can't stay. A positive attitude is the only thing that can chase his stressful butt away. Amen. I'd like to immediately go into tonight's lesson now. As I said, that the poem is coinciding with the lesson for tonight, and it's coming from the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse, and I'm reading out of the King James Version of the Bible, and it reads thusly: "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, I'll be going back to that verse, and there's a few verses before that verse and after that I will touch upon. But our lesson for tonight, did you forget who you are? And if you notice, that's an interrogative remark. It's a question. It's putting a question to you. And it requires an answer. It requires what we would call a self-examination. Because nowadays, as Christians, we are forgetting our position in the Lord. We are forgetting who we are. We are forgetting a whole lot of things. And the reason why we're forgetting, even though the Lord has told us that we are the light of the world, even though he has told us what we are. Excuse me, I just read it to you from the gospel recorded by St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse number 14. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word, and may he edify our souls forever. Amen. I just got a little bit ahead of myself because I'm just excited tonight about bringing forth God's word. And as I was saying, we got to be extra careful because amnesia is setting in on God's children, and it's setting in such a way that the positions that we hold in the Lord, we are leaving away from those positions, and we are embracing things that God does not want us to embrace. Now, I just said we get amnesia, and the reason we get amnesia is because of adversity. Now, adversity is one of the major causes why we forget who we are, why we will abandon those things and those principles that God has instilled in each and every last one of us. And tonight, we're going to talk about a little bit about adversity. We're going to talk about the things and the repercussions and the things that it does to us as Christians. Now, as I was saying, the Lord told us in Matthew, which is the 14th verse out of the Sermon on the Mount, he was telling each and every last one of us, he said, "You are the light of the world." And over there in right at, from the beginning, Genesis, the 1st chapter, I believe it was the 3rd verse, the Lord God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And he said the light was good. And so we got to look at what light means in a spiritual sense. See, light, it represents life. It represents, it gives us safety. Light can be a navigational tool. These are all the things that the Lord is in our life. And we must realize that if we are the light, then we are able, because it said that we become the sons and daughters of light. We will be able to illuminate the ways of, or the pathway to our brothers and our sisters. people are looking up to us to provide them with that light. But part number two of that said scripture said we are a city that sits upon the hill or a hill or a mountaintop. It says it in several different publications, regardless of how you might be reading it. You know, it's the same thing, but it's worded a little bit differently. It says you are a city that sits upon a hill which cannot be hid. So my brothers and my sisters, I'm telling you that there is no way that you can go and that you could blend in to anywhere, because you are that city that sits upon a hill. You are operating from an elevated platform. And I know some of you preachers out there that are listening, even some of you deacons and even and priests and whatever your position is in life, there is something about you that when you go places that you don't have to tell people the position that you hold in the vineyard, in the mosque, in the cathedral, in the temple, or whatever. People will come up to you and say, do you go to such and such a, or are you a member of such and such a church? And it's because that light that God has given you is shining. It's because you are illuminating the place, that you are a beacon of hope. And upon being a beacon of hope, if you notice, people are attracted to the light. And going back to Genesis, the first chapter, it says that the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I'd like to expound upon that momentarily. This is just simply telling us that when it comes down to God's word, that the world is not going to understand you, because to comprehend means that you have a full understanding of what's going on. So the darkness cannot comprehend the light. That's why people don't understand when a church member or child of God has been offended, and why we would say, I forgive you, brother. Why we say, I love you anyway, despite the fact that you have done me wrong. The world could not understand when it was that church massacre down in South Carolina, when the young man went in there and he killed 9 church members. And to the letter, every church member's family went on record as saying that they did not like what had been done, but they had room in their heart to forgive that young man who committed that act. So the world is not going to understand you, because we have to answer to a higher standard. But see, we understand them. We understand why they're doing some of the things that they're doing. We understand why they have went astray. We understand why they can cuss you out today and be your friend tomorrow. We understand why this world is in the situation and the position that it's in. And it's because there are a lot of people out there who have the absence of God in their life, or if I could rephrase it, who do not have the presence of God in their life. So God, you know, opens up our understanding, because the word said, lean not unto your own understanding, because see, the flesh will protest, and it will protest in such a way. And see, a protest is what? A rebellion. The flesh will rebel against that which is not pleasing unto it, that which goes against the flesh. The flesh is in a constant war with the spirit. So, as I was saying, why have we forgotten? Or did you forget who you are? I don't think that we have no idea of how powerful we are. I don't think that we realize the position that we hold in Christ. But as I said, adversity will bring about amnesia. Adversity will make you forget who the parent is when it comes down to our children. Adversity will make us switch roles and we will become the child, and our child will become, because our child did something, and then our child is being contrary unto the rules and regulations of the household, but we turned it into a catering service. But over there in Exodus, the 17th chapter, it lets us know, it says that we should honor our father and our mother, that thy days shall be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So what the word is telling me and what it's telling us tonight is that we should honor. Didn't say that you have to necessarily agree with your parents. Didn't necessarily say, but you're supposed to honor them and hold them in reverence and respect what it is that they have to say. So I can see your light shining brightly tonight, because I'm going to bring a lot of things back to your memory. Now, we are conquerors. We are more than conquerors. But see, coinciding with the poem that was read unto you tonight, we yield. And we yield unto things that we don't have no business yielding unto. Instead of us turning it over into the hand of the Lord, we know that flesh will fail every time. Instead of giving it to the Lord and let the Lord handle it, because he says in his word, take your burdens unto the Lord and leave them there. I don't have no business trying to handle that situation on my own. You don't have no business trying to handle that situation on your own. Why? Because it's bigger than us. But why? Because we can't handle it. Why? It might bring about a denunciation or disassociation from God, I mean, from me concerning God. So we have to be extra careful when it comes down to these matters. It's easy to forget with the adversities and the things that's going on in life where we become so overwhelmed that we try to rely upon our own devices. We try to rely upon the little accumulated knowledge that we have. Brother Paul said that he knew 17 different languages. He could speak 17 languages and 7 of them fluently. But guess what? Brother Paul accounted the knowledge that he had. He still said that it was dumb if he didn't know Jesus and him crucified. So regardless of what it is, what type of book knowledge you may have got into your head, sometimes the supernatural knowledge and supernatural being of God, it defies scientific explanation. So we're not supposed to lean to our understanding. I mean, there are some common things that we see and that we understand and that we accept. But when it comes down to matters of the heart, it's best for us to refer these situations back over to God. Because why? We are the light of the world. We are that city that sits upon the hill. We are that representative of what God should be, because, see, in a verse before that, it said that ye are the salt of the earth. So we're supposed to give it flavor. We're supposed to be able to, and see if you notice anything about salt. Salt is a preservative. By being a preservative, if you are salt in those that have been raised on a farm or those that are working butcher shops and so forth and on, they put a long time ago, even back in the Ethiopian days, back in the days of Noah, back in the ancient days, they would put salt on meat to slow down the decomposition of meat. It was a preservative. And so we are the salt. But it said that if salt loses savor, then it will be trampled up on the feet of men. So in other words, once you lose that preservative power, once you go to the other side, and once people stop looking at you in a spiritual light, then you have no saving power, because they will look at you and they will address you. Well, why should I come into the house of prayer when the preacher or the deacon or the sister, whoever that might be, is drinking more than I am, is an alcoholic, because people will use these things against you. They will use it to withdraw themselves away from the Lord. Now, if you don't forget who you are, then you're going to try your best to maintain that high integrity in the Lord. And believe me when I tell you, it's difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy to maintain your integrity in the Lord, because there will be some filthy jokes that we may laugh at, which in a sense is condoning the activity or condoning the words of whoever brought this forth. So as I say, Paul said that's a struggle that's going on inside of him, not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, not biweekly, but daily. So it's a tug of war going on. I know that some of us have seen those movies where it's an angel, or supposed to be an angel, on one shoulder, and the devil is on the other shoulder, and they speaking to this individual, say, well, you need to do that. And they give them the pros and the cons of what should be done or what action they should take. Now, according to God's word, we ought to drop all that we have and to follow him. What he do, we should do. It says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, which is the golden rule. Even when they do things unto you to cause your heart to bleed, we're not supposed to retaliate. The light in me says, the light in you says, to forgive them. Our Lord's Prayer says, forgive them their trespass, or forgive them their debts, and forgive those that we are indebted to. It might not necessarily be in that order, but the word is saying that we got to be able to put ourselves in a position to be able to forgive, to be able to get past that and see if we got to be careful, because we think, or some people think, I've done a personal survey on this particular statement, I mean on this particular thing on forgiveness, and the reason why a lot of people do not forgive other people is because when we forgive, or when other people forgive, we think that the offender is getting off scot-free with whatever it was that they did against us. But see, God says, vengeance is mine, and I shall repay. He also said, the least you do unto these little ones, you do it unto me. So that's not even in my department, because if I'm retaliating and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, then I'm misrepresenting God. I'm not allowing that light that is within me to shine or bring out its true purpose. So, as I say, it's easy, very easy to get amnesia when it comes down to God's word, when it comes down to me being that light. Also, in the verse up under number 14, it says that about putting your light up under a bushel, which brings us to phase two of tonight's lesson, which is hiding from God, hiding from responsibility, hiding from those things which God has appointed each and every last one of us to do. Now, if we go back to, once again, back to Genesis, in the garden, when God gave Adam dominion over all the animals, let him name all the animals, and gave him specific instructions on what it was that he wanted him to do. He said, all the fruit in the garden you have access to, but this one specific tree, leave that alone. And so through his disobedience also will make you forget who you are. but through his disobedience and him passing the buck and bringing forth the coercion, saying that Eve coerced him. She coerced him into partaking of that fruit. Then he passed the buck and said, "This woman that thou gave me, and I did eat." But we got to backtrack just a little bit. See, he knew that he had violated what it was that God wanted him to do. He knew that. So fear, we're going to go with fear. Fear caused him to hide. The Lord asked him, he said, "Adam, where are you?" I'm just paraphrasing here. He said, where are you? He said, I'm here. But what you doing? He said, I hide myself because I'm naked. He said, I'm naked. And so on. So in the process of him saying that he was naked, God told you to ask him. He said, "Who told you you were naked?" He said, "This woman that you gave me, you know, as we sometimes do, we pass the buck." And in the process of us passing the buck, we forget who we are. And so I'm just using this as a parable and as an example that when you do wrong to somebody, when you do and go against the ordinances of God, it's easy to forget. It's easy for a man to lie, for him to forget what his position is. Instead of saying, "I've done it, and I'm sorry." But see, once again, as I was telling you, he faced adversity. And he faced adversity in such a way that he was afraid to deal with the situation. So we have to be extra careful. When we forget who we are, we make ourselves susceptible unto whatever consequence may be out there. We do things right, then the probability is for things, righteous things, to come to us. So, as I said, the brother, Adam, he hid. He hid himself because he was faced with that adversity, and it brought about a fear, and it brought about a disassociation from God. He hid himself. Now we're going to move right on up to Brother Jonah. Now God gave him an assignment, and for whatever reason, you know, you can get 100 different explanations as to why Jonah went in the opposite direction that God wanted him to go in. We know that in the process of him going, what did he do? He hid himself in the belly of the ship. He went down deep into the ship to hide himself. But then when the turmoil and the tumult began to rock that boat in the water, and the shipmates didn't really know what to do, they looked over there at that city, which could not be hid. They looked over there and said, "Wait a minute, what?" The shipmaster said, "Well, what meanest thou, old sleeper?" So regardless of where you go or how deep into something you go, as a child of God, you still going to stand out. Even in your disobedience, you still are going to stand out. So he went and he said, "Throw me overboard." I'm, you know, going to give you just a slight story of what's going on, a slight synopsis. And so he realized that through his obedience that he had put other people in danger. But as I said, he forgot. He forgot who he was. He forgot that God had designated him to go out there and do a service for the Lord. So you cannot hide that light up on a basket. You cannot hide it because you are the light of the world. God has designated us. We know that Father is the light, the Son is the light. We know that he has his messengers, because if we're living in a dark world and the world is not comprehending what it is that God wants us to do, what it is that he wants us to say to his people, what type of example he wants us to live before them, then it has to be spiritual leaders. It has to be someone who is setting the example. But see, what we are failing to realize here, that each and every man, with the exception of Jesus, each and every man that, or woman, that was a representative of God, was flawed. See, sometimes when our pastors or our spiritual leaders fall by the wayside, we use that as an example, or we use that as an excuse for us not to serve the Lord. I'm just telling you now, my brothers and my sisters, that is not the path for us to take, because we are born in sin and wrapped in iniquity, and each and every last one of us comes short of the glory of God. The true light of the world was sent here to reconcile us back with God. But you can be a light in your home. You could be a light in your neighborhood. You could be a light on your job. All you have to do is just do what it is that the Lord will have you to do. You don't have to wear a cross around your neck. You don't have to wear any trinkets or anything indicating of who you are. If you don't have that cross in your heart, then I'm mighty afraid that it being around your neck or being on your car or being up under your arm is not going to do you any good. So I'm just here tonight to jog your memory, to remind you of what you are and who you are. You are a representative of the Most High. Now, we're going to talk about hiding again when the Lord was going through his dilemma and his disciples were in Jerusalem in fear of the Jews. They hid themselves in caves. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some examples in the Bible where the Lord told people to hide themselves or to conceal themselves or even not to reveal themselves. But when it's an assignment that God has given you to do, it's best to be straightforward with it. Now, we're going to go over here to Brother Peter, a city that sits on the hill once again. It cannot be hidden. Now, when they had apprehended the Lord, and Peter was trying to blend in with the crowd, he was trying his best to not to be conspicuous. Then one of the people said, "Wait a minute, don't I know you? You were with him, brother." But Peter said, "No, you're mistaken." The same fearless Peter that cut off the ear of one of the soldiers, the same Peter that the Lord told him that the devil desired to sift him like wheat, he became fearful. So fear is another reason why adversity will make us forget who we are. And so he not only did it once, but he did it three times. And see, this is sometimes we get into the repetition of forgetfulness that we go away from the original point that we should stick to. Or sometimes we repeat our untruth so frequently that in the process of us repeating it, then it becomes a truth to somebody else. We know in our hearts. So sometimes we even lie to ourselves. But my brothers and my sisters, don't let that flame Don't let the light that God has instilled in you, that the Lord told you that you are, don't let that flame be extinguished by our foolishness, by our lust, because see, lust and passion also will make you disassociate yourself from God. There are many lustful people in God's word who got away from what it was that he would have them to do just to pursue the lust of their flesh. Don't forget, my brothers and my sisters, I'm just here to remind you. I know, as I was saying earlier when the Lord gave me this opportunity to speak to you, this is an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility. It's one that I do not take lightly. It's one that I may fail sometimes. The words may not come out right sometimes. In processing the information, I may give it to you in the wrong way, and somebody might out there, I say, that's not correct. But in my desire to please God and to do the things that is pleasing in his eyesight, as Brother James said, sometimes we have to be able to move ourselves out of the way. We have to say, God, all of you and none of me. Because it is my desire to please him. It's my desire to be that light. It's my desire to illuminate somebody else's pathway. It is my desire to do all of these things, but we're human. We're subject to mistakes and errors. Sometimes our error and judgment might cause a brother or sister's heart to grieve. But when we happen to missay something or do something or snap at somebody or whatever the situation might be, we're supposed to go and reconcile with that individual, because the light says to reconcile. We're supposed to go and make amends, because the light says make amends. So whatever capacity that you hold it to the highest standard that's possible. Do not allow it to take away from you. Do not allow it to force you to the sideline. Because we are the light. You are the light. You cannot be hid. Up under no circumstances can you be hid away from the responsibility that God will have you to do. Now, some of us may neglect it, because I know that certain things that I have been asked to do because I favoritize the flesh, I thought that God was making a mistake, especially the part when it says, if your brother is wrong, tell him of it. Because there's been many times that I leaned to my own understanding, didn't tell my brother what was going on. Because why? I favoritize the flesh of what it was that God would have me to do. My fellowship with the flesh was stronger than at the time than what my fellowship was with God. But I realized over time that whatever it is that God tells me to do, it's of a benefit to not only me, but to the recipient of what it is, because I'm supposed to be in light. We're supposed to be obedient to that light. So I thank God for bringing forth an opportunity for me this evening to bring you his word, for reminding us, for reminding you, did you forget who you are? Because if you know who you are, we'll stop going along with wrongness. We'll stop doing the things that is not pleasing in God's eyesight. We'll do all the things that he asked and that he requires for us to do. May God bless you and not ever keep you. As I think on Saturday, it's probably going to be a continuation of tonight, because there's so much that the Lord gave me. So, Mr. Brown, you could put this down for Saturday. It's going to be a continuation for today. So may God bless you and may ever keep you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to do just that. We're going to do part two to this message on tonight for this coming Saturday. Listeners, you might want to mark that down so you already have the subject topic for this coming Saturday, which is tonight's topic. Did you forget who you are? And that's a question. And the main question is, did you forget who you are in Christ Jesus? Not just did you forget who you are, but if you're saved in Jesus' name, did you forget who you are in Christ Jesus? I'm adding that on, Deacon Marvin Cox. That's, I'm piggybacking off of you. But I just want to make sure that the listeners know that, are you, did you forget who you are in Christ Jesus? You are anointed by Christ Jesus, by God, our Heavenly Father. You have been called. You have an anointing on your life. You can do just what Jesus Christ said that you can do. And the reason that we do not do what we are told that we can do, just like Jesus said we can do, because apparently some of us have forgotten who we really are in Christ Jesus.
All right.
The Word of God
all
says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we need to remember that whatever Jesus Christ said that we can do in the flesh, even though we are in the flesh, if Jesus said we can do it, trust me, if you're saved in Jesus' name, Jesus knows better than we do. If he said we can do it, trust me, we can do it. So we got to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. So that's the message for tonight. Again, you want to tune in on this coming Saturday, the day after tomorrow, Saturday, July the 14th, you want to tune in and be blessed by part two of this message, Did You Forget Who You Are? By Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to continue part two on this coming Saturday. So pass the word for anyone that missed out on tonight. They can always pull up tonight's show and listen to it, and then be caught up for this coming Saturday, July the 14th, when Deacon Marvin Cox will bring part two of today's message, Did You Forget Who You Are? So Deacon Marvin Cox, we thank God for you. Thank God for you continue to stand on the wall and delivering powerful messages that God has given to you. And also we want to thank God for you for sharing with us, the listeners, what God has given to you in the form of poems, inspirational poems that inspire and motivate the people of God through your writing. So continue to do what God has anointed you to do. So right now we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox. But for tonight, we're going to close out tonight's program in prayer, as we always do. Again, you do not want to fail to tune in on this coming Saturday, July 14th, for part two of this message. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who and all that you are. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for your grace, your sufficient grace toward each one of us. We know that we are not worthy of them. We don't deserve them. But we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your sufficient grace toward all of your people. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for allowing the young men, the 12 soccer players, and their coach to be rescued safely. And we thank you for everyone that had a hand and involved in getting them out. We know that it was you who led and guided them to be able to get them young men and their coach out safely. So for this, we give you glory, we give you honor and praise, not only for them, but for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for even every trial and every test, even for every enemy that comes our way. We thank you that they all come to make us stronger in you. So, Heavenly Father, we now also lift up all those that are in prison bars for just and unjust reasons. We pray that you would move by your Spirit, especially on the behalf of those that are incarcerated falsely, that they would be found in the right way. Heavenly Father, they would be found innocent, and so they can be released and be able to get back into society so that they can continue to fulfill their God purposes in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Even those that are incarcerated, that are guilty, we pray, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit, send a vessel into those incarcerated, between those incarcerated walls, the jails, the ministries of the jails and prisons, and even the youth detention centers. We know that you have people, vessels that goes into those areas. And so we ask that you would touch them as they go into the prisons and the jails and the detention centers for youth, young people, that you would speak a word through them that each one of them that are not saved in Jesus' name will come to know Jesus Christ and be saved, even though they are locked up behind bars, whereby they will be able to continue to fulfill their God purposes, even behind bars, that you will be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So we thank you for Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight, and we pray, Lord, that you are going to refresh his memory. You're going to give him everything that he needs to be able to continue with part two of this message on tonight. Did you forget who you are in Jesus Christ on this coming Saturday? So we thank you for him. Thank you for every listener. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to grant each listener the desires of their hearts for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said, amen. Well, that's our program for tonight. I pray that you was blessed by the word of tonight. I pray that it was received in love on tonight, that God will be glorified through you. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox, and we pray that you would tune in on this coming Saturday for part two of Did You Forget Who You Are by Deacon Marvin Cox. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.